Here we go. It is a Football Friday, the Friday Morning Good Time edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Good morning to you. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Week one in college football is back, and so is our Pick 6 segment. We will tell you the plays that are getting our money in 20 minutes. More of what to expect this weekend when we bring in Andrea Adelson from ESPN. Donkster and Best Bets come your way at 8:40, and welcome to our audience on Stadium. You can stream the final hour of this show on ValleySportsLive.com and the Valley Sports Live app. And before we get to Micah Parsons, yes, we're going to talk about that. We want to remind you, huge weekend coming up. Football Saturday starts with tailgate kickoff on the BetMGM Network. Ryan Horvat is back live at 9 a.m. in the East, breaking down the lines, last-minute injuries, everything you need before the game start. You can watch and stream it anywhere across the BetMGM Network, and your weekend warm-up starts today with BetMGMU. RJ Choppy, Chris Mack, and John Martin set the stage every week on the BetMGM Network YouTube page and wherever you listen to your podcasts. Before we get to college, huge news, a massive trade yesterday in the National Football League. Jerry done lost his mind. Jerry Jones has traded, Micah Parsons to Green Bay. The Cowboys get defensive tackle Kenny Clark and two first-round picks in return. And then Parsons immediately signs a four-year, $188 million contract, $136 million guaranteed. It is the highest non-quarterback contract in NFL history. And Jerry, when talking about this yesterday, didn't even know Micah's name.
The other thing that I would like to say is I firmly did, made a commitment to Michael this spring, and paid him.
Okay. That whole press conference, Chelsea, as you know, was just an absolute train wreck. But what is no laughing matter is this pretty incredible reaction from Mark Schlereth at the Fox Sports.
And just absolutely stunned, absolutely shocked. And you know, it's one of these things I said about Jerry Jones, and I've said this a bunch. I'm just like, if any of your other businesses were run this moronically by the guy who ran it, you would run them out of town. You would fire them. It would be unbelievable what you would do, and yet you allow yourself to act like a total moron when it comes to operating your own team. And, you know, I'll disagree with Wanstead, and here's where I'll disagree. I'll tell you, Kenny Clark's a good player. And I'll tell you, you know, two first-rounders, Dallas has been pretty good at drafting first-rounders, okay? I'll tell you all those things. That's great. But have you seen the reaction of the guys who actually take the field? Have you seen CeeDee Lamb? Have you seen Trayvon Diggs? Have you seen the guys that have to take the field? Listen, if Jerry Jones were asked to take the field, you'd need to get a smoke bomb to get him out of the owner's box. He'd be standing in a puddle of piss. Like, he's not going to make a tackle. He's not going to hit anybody. And what you develop when you don't pay your guys, when you don't reward the guys who do it the right way, what you develop is a room full of independent contractors. And you know what you can't win with independent contractors? You cannot win championships. End of story. You can't. So you can sit there and say it's a good deal, and they got great value, and they're going to have some first-round picks. How does that help them this year, and how does it help them with a bunch of guys who are disgruntled because they know Micah Parsons is the real deal, and they know Micah Parsons earned it, and you screwed him.
Whew. Scathing for Mark Schlereth. And you know what? I think he's exactly right, Chelsea.
Yeah, and just so you know, that was on You Better You Bet, which is on this network. But I think there's several reasons why it does feel like this move is extremely inflammatory. Number one, to the players, like Mark Schlereth mentioned, because if you thought Cowboys culture was broken when Micah Parsons was appearing to sleep on the training table, how do you think it's going to be now? Like, when these players saw that you just gave up on a 26-year-old generational talent just because he wouldn't negotiate with you instead of his agent, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to talk to the agent. And then you look at Jerry Jones, and I feel like for a while now we've had this feeling that, okay, Jerry Jones has maybe lost a step or two. Now it feels like he's full-blown crazy, full-blown lost it. Doesn't it feel that way? Like, I feel like this is so bad that all those bandwagon fans that joined the Cowboys fan base in the 90s, I feel like they're packing up things and they're ready to move on. It's time to be a Yankees fan. It's time to be a Dodgers fan. Hell, what's Duke basketball up to? They've got to find a new team.
You got to do something. I mean, this is such a terrible move. And yeah, you get draft picks, but it's one thing to trade a player who's a good player. It's quite another to trade a generational defensive player. Micah Parsons is only 26 years old. He has led the National Football League in rushing the passer since his rookie year. Like, more so than Myles Garrett. No one pressures the quarterback more than Micah Parsons. He feels a massive need in Green Bay. And we have seen the numbers move in a big way. As soon as this happened, whether you think it's an overreaction or not, Parsons has gone from 7-1 to plus 550 to win NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And the Packers, now 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. They needed someone to get to the passer. That was one of their few weaknesses this season. And now, not only do they feel that need, they get a guy who's one of the best in the game. I just don't know what in the hell Jerry's thinking.
Yeah, when you say, oh, well, we got first-round picks. Well, you hope to God that you get somebody even half as good as Micah Parsons in the first round. Like, that's the hope, and you just traded him away. Like, you got it. You had it. You had the dream of getting somebody in the draft that's a generational player, and you just let him walk.
And he wanted to be in Dallas. Grew up a Cowboys fan, but Jerry forced him out, and now that is over. But what is just beginning is college football, and time to hand out our favorite plays.
Pick six.
Pick six. It's back, baby. And I'm starting in a town I don't even like. Waco tonight. Baylor, money line, plus 110. Hosting Auburn. I don't even like that fight song. Whatever. Dave Aranda and the Bears hosting Hugh Freeze from the SEC. And this is a big prove-it year for Hugh Freeze. 5-7 last year, 11-14 over the past 2 years. Brought in Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma. I didn't really like him as a Sooner. I don't know how I feel about him at Auburn. And Chelsea was saying that they may start or play three quarterbacks tonight. Okay. Good luck with that. Baylor has 14 returning starters. Sawyer Robinson back at quarterback. He's gotten better each and every single year. And Baylor won the final six games during the regular season before falling to LSU in the Texas Bowl. Bears tonight on the money line.
Yeah, absolutely. Fading Auburn and Hugh Freeze. What are we doing here with this offense? And also, Baylor is a good team. So on both accounts, great play, especially at plus money. If you want to watch it, Tigers and Bears take the field tonight in Waco at 8 Eastern.
Pick six.
Pick six.
All right, next up, let's go to another big game on the card this weekend and go number 8 Alabama at Florida State. I'm going to go with the over in this one, over 49.5. Do be aware that there is some weather that could be threatening in this one, but I do think both these teams can run the ball effectively. I think when you think that the underdog has at least a fighting chance in this one, you take the over instead of the spread, because I do think over the course of the game, Alabama will ground and pound its way to covering this number. But you look at Florida State and the dual threat quarterback they have in Thomas Castellanos, transfer from Boston College, and the new offensive coordinator in Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn does great with these type of dual threat quarterbacks in the offense that he runs. And plus, I know Florida State was downright terrible last year, going 2-10, but they've got 16 transfers projected to start. I think this offense is going to be a lot better. And plus, Alabama has Ryan Williams. You think Florida State's going to stop him? Let's go over 49.5 between Alabama and Florida State.
Oh, I like that pick, and I'm telling you, the smack talk alone was something that made me look at Bama. It's moved from 13.5 to 14. So I would lay the points with Bama, but I like your pick as well. It is a 2:30 Eastern kickoff tomorrow in Tallahassee.
Pick six.
Pick six. Let's head to Boulder, shall we? Georgia Tech laying 4.5 against Colorado. All over Georgia Tech in this one. That was fun last season, Colorado fans. Nice little run. 9-4, lost in the Alamo Bowl, but now Shedeur Sanders is gone, Travis Hunter is gone, and you replace Shedeur with Kadon Salter, quarterback, pretty good at Liberty over 3 years, but this is a downgrade. Colorado has not done a good job in the trenches of building up the defensive and particularly the offensive line, and that is where Georgia Tech is going to dominate this game. This is a well-coached Georgia Tech team. Brent Key, we know his teams are physical. They gave Georgia all it wanted last year, taking the Dogs to 8 overtimes, and Haynes King is back, a great dual-threat quarterback. Didn't like him at A&M, but now I love him at Georgia Tech. He's been very good. Let's go Georgia Tech minus 4.5 tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a squad play. The whole squad running on this one. And I think from a betting standpoint, a lot of gamblers know the name Brent Key because he has done so well in these big spotlight games, especially as an underdog. I understand that's not the situation here, but the point being, they live up to the moment when the moment is the brightest. So I like the fact that Georgia Tech is returning a lot of their skill position starters. They return the third most production of any team in the ACC. Meanwhile, I think Colorado is going to be reeling by losing two of their most significant players in quite some time. So that's going to be a squad play. Let's go with Georgia Tech laying the 4.5.
All right. It is an 8 o'clock Eastern kickoff tonight in Boulder, Colorado.
Pick six.
Ah, I've been waiting for this one. Texas money line against Ohio State. Oh, yeah. I keep hearing about Arch Manning not having any experience. He has more experience than Julian Sand, who had to battle for his life to win that starting quarterback job. I almost went to Columbus. I almost did. And then I thought, why would I want to go to Columbus? Hang around a bunch of townies, inhale some secondhand smoke? No thanks. I'll watch it from home or with some Longhorn fans here in D.C. Texas is the only team who has made the college football playoff in the last 2 years to the semifinals. Yeah, you're the defending national champion. Now you have new coordinators on both sides of the football. Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick isn't here to save you, buddy. And also, Ohio State has a real weakness on the offensive line. They've been shuffling guys around. Even Ryan Day still hasn't said who's going to start, who's going to go where. So if you're Julian Sand, get to know Anthony Hill and Colin Simmons. Shake hands with them before the game because you will know them very well by the time this game is over. Ryan Day, your beard is blacker than black, and I don't like it. Weirds me out. Also, this week, I ordered a Texas t-shirt for my watch party, got it in yesterday, and they accidentally sent me a free cap as well, $35. I looked at the tag. That's great news. It's a great sign. Get up early if you're a Buckeyes fan in Columbus, because guess what? You're taking an L. Texas money line in Columbus.
Ooh, Jenks has been waiting since February to bet on this game. I don't know if you guys knew this, but he is reading message boards, you know, during the months of March and April. So, Jenks, I am happy for you. We'll be riding as a squad and hoping the Texas gets the job done on the road at Ohio State. If you want to watch it, it's a noon Eastern kick on Saturday.
Pick six. Pick six.
All right, to round out our pick six segment, how about another bet on one of the biggest games of the weekend? Number 9, LSU at number 4, Clemson. We're going to roll with the Tigers and the real Death Valley, and that is Clemson laying the 3.5 here. So this line has been moving a bit, but you can get a 3.5. It is available. So in the first of the season, you trust the team with the better returning starters. You trust the team that's been good in these situations. And you trust the better head coach. We all know the numbers on LSU and season openers. They have been terrible to open the season. Brian Kelly has not won a season opener since coming to LSU. And plus, this is a really good Clemson team, a team that could win a national championship. They've got 16 returning starters. That's second most of any team in the nation. And plus, it's at the key positions. Cade Klubnik, one of the favorites to win the Heisman. And plus, the difference in this one is the defenses. LSU was the third worst defense in the SEC last season, giving up 24 points per game. I don't think this is a great matchup for them, especially when you have to go on the road the first game this season. Do I trust Brian Kelly? Hell no, I don't. So let's go. Clemson, laying the 3.5.
Oh, I am with you there. Who's going to be the first person to go on Twitter and be like, I like the Tigers in this game?
I'm sure it's already been done.
Yeah. It's the perfect college football dad joke. I'm with you, though. I like Clemson as I think Texas and Clemson, or at least I know I'm biased when it comes to Texas, but Clemson absolutely has a chance to win the national title, and Klubnik is a stud, even more so than Garrett Nussmeier. I think LSU takes another L in a season opener. Tigers and Tigers, 6:30 Eastern, Saturday night in Death Valley in South Carolina. Coming up next. Woo! We have handed out our favorite plays. Now let's get some insider analysis. Andre Adelson from ESPN is coming your way next. It is a Friday on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Come on back.
Welcome back to The Daily Tip with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
Back on a Friday. Good morning to you, the Friday Morning Good Time Edition. I'm Michael Jenkins. She's Chelsea Messenger. Double D, it's a Friday, so I got to have a little instrumental. Oh, it's exciting. College football's back. Coming up on the show. What to expect on Saturday night in Death Valley as we talk about LSU and Clemson with Andrea Adelson from ESPN and the ACC Network as well. Chelsea, you know, I like Boise State, even though I'm Texas guy, I went to Texas, but I have a soft spot in my heart for the Broncos because I covered them for a while on the blue turf and they got throttled last night. Is there a team outside of NC State that you're like, yeah, I like it when this team wins or when they play well?
Well, I covered Auburn for a while, for 3 years when I was in Columbus, Georgia. Even though it's Georgia, it's like 20 minutes outside Auburn because Auburn's on the Georgia-Alabama line. But it's different people now there, obviously. Hugh Freeze was not there when I was covering Auburn. Gus Malzahn was there. Rhett Lashley was there. So I do follow like the staff members because I think when you work in sports, like you root for people as opposed to teams.
For sure.
Like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like when you cover whatever team, if you talk to like certain players, you're like, oh, no matter if he still plays for this team, I'm going to root for him wherever he goes.
Oh, for sure. And then you establish that personal connection and it gives you an even deeper reason to cheer for someone, right? Like, not only did I cover this team or was I a part of the market, I met some people and they were good to me, and it just sort of engenders that feeling where you think, all right, you know what? I'm a fan of you guys. Maybe not number one, but you're kind of there in my orbit, if you will. So the college football orbit is expanding in a big way this weekend. Week one, we got some games last night, more games tonight, and of course, a loaded weekend. So let's talk about that with Andrea Adelson, of course, covers college football for ESPN and host of Inside Access on the ACC Network. Andrea, good morning to you. Thank you for being with us. And I know you're a college football fan because I've followed your work for a long time. So just how excited are you that we're finally not just on the cusp of it, but we're here?
Oh, it's so exciting. I was watching games last night and I turned to my daughter who's 17 and I'm like, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And she's like, oh, mom, be quiet. But yes, I started singing that song because I was so excited and I had the TV, I had the laptop, I had the phone, multiple screens going, getting back into the groove of trying to multitask and pay attention to like six different games at one time, retraining the brain on how to put your eyes here, now move them to the laptop, now move them to the iPad, now move them to the iPhone, and then not miss a play. You know, it's an art, I'm not going to lie. And it takes some practice to get back into it. So it's great to be back.
Yeah, props to us, the viewers, for keeping up with all these games.
That's right.
Because it is something that takes some practice. But it should be a big year for the ACC, at least on paper, because it does feel like maybe they have a national champion contender. So let's start with this big game of the weekend for Clemson, hosting LSU, the battle of the real Death Valley. So schematically and, you know, with the players on each side, do you think Clemson has the advantage here?
I do think Clemson has the advantage for a few reasons. I think, one, they bring back a lot of guys who were on the team last year that came up short in the playoff against Texas, whereas LSU, aside from Garrett Nussmeier and a couple of other guys, completely revamped their team through the transfer portal. So this is going to be their first game truly playing together, whereas Clemson brings back one of the most experienced teams, not just in the ACC, but in the entire country, essentially returning all their skill personnel and Cade Klubnik. Yes, they do have a new starter at running back, but it's Adam Randall, who's been in the program as a wide receiver. So even though he's a first-time starter at running back, he's been a part of that Clemson program, a strong offensive line, obviously a strong defensive front, and one of the best secondaries, in my opinion, in the entire country. And so when you look at Clemson, at least to me, A, playing at home and having that home environment, but then B, having the advantage, I think, on the defensive front with TJ Parker and Peter Woods will help the transfer from Purdue against an LSU offensive line that's going to have four new starters and also rotate as many as eight players in. I think that's another reason why Clemson has an advantage in this game as well.
Andrea, when you look at the upcoming season in the ACC, is it Clemson and everyone else. I mean, there's certainly some talent there, but it feels like far and away the Tigers are the best team.
That's how I feel. I've gotten into a debate with my co-host on Inside Access about this because he will contend that Clemson last year was a long field goal, made field goal away against SMU from not winning the ACC, from not making it back into the playoff, and they had some fairly bad losses last year. And so in his mind, as the counterpoint to this, why are we sitting here and saying that Clemson is an overwhelming favorite when they essentially needed that 56-yard miracle field goal to beat SMU, which went 8-0 in league play last year? My counterargument to that is not just the veteran group that they had coming back, which I just mentioned as why I think they should be the favorite against LSU, but the change at defensive coordinator, in my opinion, bringing in Tom Allen from Penn State, I think is going to revitalize this defense, which really took a step back last year. And it's hard to even say that about Clemson in defense, that they took a step back, but it's been a progression over the last 3 years. Last year was the low point. When you're Clemson and you're known as having an aggressive, all-out group that plays hard and knows how to tackle and knows how to get after the quarterback and knows how to stop the run, and you finish 85 in the country in run defense, that's problematic. And so when you bring in a Tom Allen who had great success at Penn State and in previous stops, I think they're going to get back to the identity of what made Clemson so good during their playoff run. It wasn't just great quarterback play and great play from their skill players. It was outstanding play by their defense. And so that's why I feel like Clemson, yes, is the overwhelming favorite. I think there's a lot of questions about some of the teams right behind them. Miami is a team I know everybody is looking at and thinking, boy, can they contend? I've got some questions about Miami, at least more questions about Miami than I do about Clemson. So that's why I think Clemson's the overwhelming favorite.
All right. So another big game this weekend is Alabama and Florida State. And I feel like it can't get much worse for Florida State from what we saw last year. Is there any way to expect that Florida State will at least be competitive this year?
Yes, I think there is. And quite honestly, I was a little surprised to see that Alabama's almost a 2-touchdown favorite on the road in Tallahassee. If this is the same Florida State team from a year ago, there's going to be major problems for Mike Norvell and for Florida State. They went into the transfer portal again. They feel a lot better about the quarterback position with Tommy Castellanos coming in and being a leader and one of those, you hear those cliches, alpha dogs, but you need guys in the locker room that are going to bring people along with you. Florida State didn't have that last year. And so when things got bad for them, there was nobody in the locker room to say, guys, here's how we're going to fix this. There was no leadership. There was no real accountability. And so that's how things kind of got off the rails for them. In addition, all the injuries that they suffered. I think they feel better about where they are from that leadership perspective because of Tommy. I think they feel better about the fact they now have a true dual threat quarterback, which they didn't have last year. And this offense runs better. Now, you mentioned Gus Malzahn earlier with him as the offensive coordinator, having a quarterback who can run. That's when his offenses are at their best. And quite honestly, that's when Florida State was at their best with Mike Norvell and Jordan Travis. So I think that's going to be a huge advantage for them. I think they're going to be better up front on the offensive line with the additions that they made through the transfer portal. They feel good about their receivers, which quite honestly, that group has underachieved except for 2023 when they had Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson in there. They've got to have some guys step up. Squirrel White is healthy. He's going to play in this game. Deuce Robinson, another transfer they really like, and a true freshman, Javon Boggs, they feel really good about. Defensively, I like the hire of Tony White. I think they're going to be way more aggressive, and they're going to have guys who are going to be playing off of instinct and their natural talents as opposed to feeling maybe a little bit more robotic out there and not sure what to do. I think that's going to be an advantage for them when you look at just the talent athleticism that they have on defense. So I expect Florida State to be better, and I expect them to be competitive in this game against Alabama.
Okay, Andrea, now I will ask about Texas and Ohio State. I know you specialize in the ACC, but just, you know, from your perspective, what do you think happens in this game? It should be a blockbuster, and it's crazy that we have a game like this so early.
Yeah, It's great for college football, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one we expect to see in the playoff. And so to get it in week one with Arch Manning, with the defending national champions, you can't really ask for more. And I can't wait to see what the ratings are going to be, quite honestly, for this game. For those two reasons, right? You've got two of the biggest brands, and then you add Arch Manning. And that's just like a recipe to have one of the most highly rated games ever in college football history, including the playoff, at least in my opinion. We'll see how that whole thing plays out. But, you know, I just think it's fascinating because we've heard so much about Arch, and yes, we've seen him play in spot duty, but there have been a lot of people who are like, well, if this guy was the real deal, how come he was behind Quinn Ewers the last 2 years? We get to finally see what Arch Manning is all about, but going on the road and playing at Ohio State, that's not easy for anyone, let alone someone making a start in this type of environment in Arch Manning, no matter how much he's been prepared for this, no matter what the family lineage says. And if you're Ohio State, I mean, you're basically breaking an entire new team and your own new starting quarterback as well. What do you look like as the defending national champions? A lot of question marks across the board in terms of what is this team going to look like? Last year, we kind of had an idea because basically everyone was coming back, right? It was Michigan 2.0 in terms of everyone, let's bring back the team so that we can make a run and win a championship. That's what Ohio State did. And so now that they're reloading, I wouldn't say rebuilding, but have a whole new group of guys, what is this going to look like right out of the gate? And so I just think so many of the matchups and so many of those storylines are fascinating. I can't wait to see how it all plays out. But quite honestly, I'm most interested to see, and I think I'm probably person number 5 million to this, how Arch Manning does and what he looks like, considering what we have heard about him over these last few years.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he can even live up to like a portion of the hype, just because the hype's just been right out of control, right? All right, so since you're on the ACC network, I have to ask, do you think two ACC teams make it to the college football playoff again?
Yes, I'm going to say yes. I feel like Miami is probably too talented to not make it. They should have last year. I mean, they were a fourth quarter away from playing for an ACC title a year ago. That would be my second ACC team. But I think there's a few teams kind of bunched in there with them. Louisville, I think, has an opportunity, quite honestly, with Miller Moss now coming in there, year three under Jeff Brohm. I feel good about some of the players they brought in defensively through the transfer portal so that they're better there. And then SMU, what are they going to look like now after they've gone through an ACC season? People now have a full season of tape on Kevin Jennings. Are they going to be as good? And then Georgia Tech is another team. They're playing tonight against Colorado. I'm excited to see how they look, because when you talk about a veteran team coming back, that's what Georgia Tech has. And we have seen them pull these incredible upsets over the last couple of years, right? Whether they beat Miami or beat some other ranked teams, and then they have problems when they're favored and play teams they should beat. They have to win those games, and I like what Brent Key has assembled there in terms of the identity of what they're going to be. Going on the road and playing at Colorado, that's never an easy thing to do, particularly for a team here in the South that's not used to the altitude and doesn't have to ever play in the altitude. But that's another team I'm keeping my eye on, because I think they've got a good enough non-conference schedule and a conference schedule that sets up in a way where they could make some noise and potentially get into the playoff as well.
You can see her covering college football on ESPN, also host of Inside Access on the ACC Network. It is Andrea Adelson. Andrea, it's great seeing you. I'm so glad you're as excited as we are, and fantastic stuff. Thank you so much. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Let's go. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Oh, man. I think she's right about the ACC, though. I mean, I'm not necessarily high on Miami, but I feel like they are good enough. I think, you know what I think it is when it comes to the Hurricanes? I think it's the Carson Beck factor. You know, sometimes you just sort of recoil when you look at a particular player, and maybe it's not fair. It's just when you watched him at Georgia, as we know, he would look great and then sometimes sort of lose his mind, and I think that's it. But ultimately, Miami is a very talented squad. They're going to be really strong on the defensive line. Like, that's their real strength. They're going to be tough to run on, which is why the matchup against Notre Dame, I think it's interesting, because Notre Dame will want to run the ball, and it's right into that teeth of the Miami defense. But I do think two teams from the ACC get in.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, it's because I don't want to say their schedules are easier than, like, the SEC, But I think that, like, the top teams, like, have pretty easy schedules. Like, maybe not Clemson, because they do play, obviously, LSU to start the season.
Yeah.
But, like, some of those fringy teams. And plus, like, Georgia Tech has shown, you know, they competed with Georgia last year. And they have a ton of production coming back on that team. So I know people don't love to talk about the ACC all the time. But remember, there was an age. Like, remember when Clemson was winning those national championships? So, like, it's not that far out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. All Dabo had to do was start using the portal. And he said he wouldn't. And we all knew you're going to use it. You don't want to. But eventually you will, and now he has, and now here they are, one of the favorites to win the national title. That's going to be an awesome game in Death Valley on Saturday night. Coming up next. All right, so Thursday was not our best day betting. Whatever. That's because we saved everything for the weekend. We're going to wrap things up with our favorite plays and a chat with the Donkster. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Welcome back to the show. It is a Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network, and it is a Football Friday. Let's go. Welcome back. I'm excited. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Look at this card. Oh, my God. Should I really be going this big? Oh, you're going big, too. Chelsea, we didn't have time to chat. We have so many plays on the card today. We have some squad plays as well. How you feeling? What are the vibes right now?
We're chasing. We're chasing, which is obviously one of the things we advise people not to do. But listen, it's been a rough week for us, and it's the return of college football in a big way. So, of course, we're going to have a bigger card. Get used to it. Football season is here. So I feel like our long gone are the days of one play for our best bets. On Fridays, I think it's going to be a healthy card.
Yeah, it is. It is a healthy card. It's a healthy weekend full of college football, full of great content here on the BetMGM Network. Coming up next on Bet Sweats, Sammy P and Joe O preview the weekend's college football action and give their favorite plays. Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia will preview the Eagles at 10. Kelly in Vegas is along at 11. And our buddy Ryan Horvat from BetMGM tonight will also talk college football at 11:20. Let's get to it.
Time to place your bets.
All right, Chelsea, we're starting with you, and it's a play we both like in baseball.
Yeah, best bet of the day is a great value play on one of the best teams in all of baseball. We're going to go with the Padres at -120 against the Twins. What are we doing with this price? Like, I understand Nestor Cortez is not the ace of the Padres rotation, but still, as a team, the Padres are better in every facet in this game. You look at the Padres and their offense over the last month, they're top five in WRC+. You look at their bullpen, which they just added some great pieces to at the trade deadline. They have the best bullpen ERA in all of baseball. Meanwhile, you look at the Twins, and this is a team that were big-time sellers at the trade deadline. Feels like they've already wrapped up the season. They're 59-73. I don't know what we're doing with this price, but I will take it. The Padres have been great as favorites this year, going 41-27. And meanwhile, the Twins, I feel like I can't even name half their players because they traded away so many of them. So let's go Padres today at a -120 price against the Twins.
I will be on that. I love that price. That's super cheap for San Diego. Also, I am going Phillies on the run line hosting the Braves. It is +118. So, look, you got Ranger Suarez going for Philly, Bryce Elder going for the Braves, and I'm going to fade Bryce Elder. He's given up at least two runs in each of his last 12, and it's usually more. On the road, his ERA is 5.25. Also, he faced the Phillies earlier this season at Citizens Bank Park. Worst outing of the season, got crushed for 9 earned over 2 innings in a 13-0 loss. Ranger Suarez has been very good in his past 2 outings. 2 earned over 13 2/3 while striking out 21. Phillies at plus money, +118.
Hell yeah, it's a squad play. Biggest mismatch on the card today, that is going to be on mine as well. Phillies on the run line. Next up, we're going to go to college football where we're taking Georgia Tech laying the 4.5 at Colorado. This team is returning the third most production of any team in the ACC. And plus, if people know the name Brent Key, you know that he performs well in these big time games. I understand that they're not underdogs in this one, but still, when the spotlight is the brightest, Brent Key knows how to step it up. Remember that game against Georgia last year when they went to 8 overtimes despite not having the talent level that Georgia had? Plus, Colorado, no Shadur, no Travis Hunter. Maybe the cupboard isn't bare, but still, those are two positions and two players that are going to be tough to replace. Georgia Tech laying 4.5. Next up, back to baseball, Brewers and Blue Jays. First five under 4 at -118. Best pitching matchup of the day. Freddie Peralta goes for the Brew Crew, and Shane Bieber, fresh off a fantastic start with double-digit strikeouts in his first stint back from the injured list. I know both these offenses are good, but I think the pitchers are going to rule the day here. Let's go first five under 4 between the Brew Crew and the Blue Jays.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, what else do I have on the card? Oh, man, it's just one play after the other. Yeah, I'm chasing. No, I don't care. It's Football Friday. Okay, this is going to be fun. Marlins at Mets tonight at Citi Field. Yuri Perez going for the Fish. Jonah Tong going for the Mets. If you don't know who Tong is, well, I did a little bit of research because this is a highly anticipated debut. He is a rookie. He has been out of this world in the minors this season. 162 strikeouts. That leads all of minor league baseball. In 20 starts, 8-5, an ERA of a minuscule 1.59. So I think he's going to wreck shop tonight against the Marlins. Mets already had a lot of success with another rookie earlier this week in Noah McClain. He's been great. So if you're going to play it, I like the Mets on the run line, even at home, at +135. But I'm going to play an alt spread. See how this goes. Mets -1, -127 in New York City. Okay, I'm also on the Padres money line against the Twins. I'm with you, Chelsea. This is a cheap price. Zebby Matthews, 3-4, 5.30 ERA. Also, over the past 10 days, Padres bullpen is holding opposing batters to an average of 192. Twins are fadeable and have been since the All-Star break. San Diego money line. Also on Georgia Tech, laying 4.5 against Colorado. Good luck, Coach Prime. You're going to want some of that weed from the student section by the second half of this game because Georgia Tech is going to dominate in the trenches. I like Brent Key and the experience he brings back to this Georgia Tech club. So, yes, laying the 4.5 with the Yellow Jackets and Auburn at Baylor. Let's go Bears. Baylor +2. Auburn is going with a Ferris wheel at quarterback. They're going to rotate three different guys. That is a disaster waiting to happen. And I know their starter is supposed to be Jackson Arnold. I wasn't a big fan of him anyway at Oklahoma, probably because he was at Oklahoma. But Baylor is the more experienced team here. And we were talking about this early in the show. If the lines are close, and I know the portal changes things up, then why not go with the more experienced ball club? Baylor is that club. 14 starters returning. Sawyer Robinson back at quarterback. They returned 4 of their 5 offensive linemen. And this is a Baylor team, before they lost to LSU in the Texas Bowl last year, that won 6 straight. Bears +2 tonight at home against Auburn. And finally, I won't keep going over it, but you know I love my Longhorns on the money line at Ohio State. Last night in Vegas, one bettor came in and put down $550,000 on Texas on the money line. That has shifted the line to Texas in some spots. The Longhorns are going to win this game outright. Texas on the money line, and then I'm going to celebrate all day long and text everyone until they're sick of me. Okay. We got those out of the way. Now it is time to find out what the Donkster is up to, check in with him, and then maybe we'll get to Joe O if they show up. Donkster.
Good morning. It's a Friday.
Yes. Good job, Donkster.
I'm so glad everything is back. Aren't you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're all pumped about college football, yeah.
I don't care about that. I'm talking about the Love Island reunion this week.
Oh. I think we all missed that.
Have you guys heard about Huda? Apparently she has a new man.
Well, no one here knows what you're talking about.
Well, the rumor is he's terrible in the sack. A real downer, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Dylan knows!
Oh, Dylan does know. He said this in the chat. Okay, just give us a pick, please.
Ohio State, Moneyline, hosting Texas.
Dogster! Not very nice.
That's because I'm a bad boy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got through all that. Woo, quicker than I thought. What are you doing this weekend, Chelsea? Because I got podcast tonight, tomorrow, Texas all day with the Longhorns, with all of my Texas exes here in D.C., and then I'm doing brunch on Sunday. Full weekend, Labor Day weekend. What's going on tonight?
Oh, yeah.
College football, little golf, maybe Blake taking a few swings.
We don't even work on Monday, do we?
No, we're off.
Look at us.
Look at us.
What a weekend. Look at us.
Look at us.
Well, Jenks, hold on to your seat because crockpot fall has started in full swing in our house. So yesterday was baked potato soup, and today we're going to do chicken enchilada soup.
Ooh.
So I know a lot of people have like fun, exciting plans over the weekend, but I don't know if they can top that.
That actually sounds awesome. I'm not. Do I look like I'm joking? Do you see a smile on my face? No. That sounds amazing. Like, I'm so ready for some good food. Oh, my God. Remember I told you that after the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift engagement, that DoorDash jumped all over that promotion because Taylor's favorite number is 13, and so you could put in 13 in all caps in DoorDash and save 13%? We tried it, and it actually worked. We got 13% off.
Nice.
Yeah. It was cool. But then
going our way.
Everything's going on. And then I was like, all right, we got to order some groceries, which is why you're talking about all the delicious soup you're going to make. Got me excited. And we got them delivered yesterday, but it's been so long since we ordered groceries that when the guy showed up, like, it was so many groceries. The guy was like, it's just you two? And we're like, yeah. He goes, I thought this was for a family of four. And he was very nice about it, but it had been, I think the last time we ordered groceries was like, I don't know, March. We're really bad about that. Awful. Mm. Kept putting it off, traveling, whatever, making excuses. So yesterday we actually ate at home and it was nice. So that soup sounds great.
That's right. And I want to like bottle up this feeling, like the feeling right before the season starts. Mm-hmm. Where like hope springs eternal, because as good of a mood as we are both in right now, Jenks, I am bracing myself for what if Texas loses?
Chelsea.
Like, I just
Nope. Texas is going to win. Here's what you ask yourself.
I disagree.
Dongster, you're done. Out of here. No. Here's what's gonna happen. Ask yourself this. What are you going to do after Texas wins? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm probably gonna text Joe O and be like, hey. Another no-show? No-show Joe? Mm. What's going on?
We don't need him. We can talk about soups and crockpots. That's what the people want to hear about.
All we need is Arch Manning and some good soup, and we're fine.
Sounds great to me.
I mean, it actually does, I have to say. That's it for this edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. For Chelsea Messenger, Denton Day, Dylan Mitchell, David Double D Dykstra, and the Donkster, I'm Michael Jenkins. Enjoy your college football weekend, and stay fit and humble. We'll see you.